Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest speaker this morning. As many of you know, we've talked about this several times the past 9 months or so, but we are partnered with an organization called Food for the Hungry, and we are working specifically in the country of Nicaragua, and even more specifically than that, a small community called Calatu in the northern part of Nicaragua. We took our first church team trip there this past June, was it? June or July? June. I don't remember when that was. And just beginning this partnership through Food for the Hungry, helping and building relationships with the people of Calatu, Nicaragua. And of all the things we've done in the past few years or whatever, just for me personally, and you may not feel this way, but for me, this is maybe the thing that I'm the most excited about, that we've gotten involved in, that we're doing together as a church. We're sponsoring 100 kids. You guys are sponsoring 100 kids from this community. Anyway, to make a long story short, Juan Pablo Belmonte is here, and he is the church liaison, meaning he facilitates the relationships between the churches in the States or Canada and these villages or communities in Latin American countries. And so Juan Pablo is actually from Bolivia, and he lives there, and he works for Food for the Hungry remotely from Bolivia out of the Phoenix headquarters where Food for the Hungry is. And so Juan Pablo is here. I actually met him back in January when we went down to Nicaragua for a vision trip. And he kind of showed us around and introduced us more specifically to FH. So, and he is, by the way, our very first Bolivian guest speaker. So would you please join me? Let's welcome Juan Pablo.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Right, wait. Great. Good morning. I hope you guys got that straight. I work remotely from Bolivia, but for the Phoenix, just kidding, you know. And I don't even get it straight. So anyway, very, very pleased and thankful we got for being here with you today. As Matt said, I've been working in this organization, Food for the Hungry, for about 10 years so far. And I have had a great life-changing experience. This has been a great life in experience for me, and just a transformational journey for my life and my family as well. Thank you, Matt, for making it possible for me to come here today. I was here in July, I think. Weather was way different, so I'm enjoying this one better. All that to say that it was amazing to me. This is the first couple of trips that I've taken to Indiana. And I was like always wondering, how is Indiana look like? You know, I just hear about Indiana, like but the Indianapolis race and that kind of stuff. But then I was like, oh, it's going to be like cities and highways. It was like that, but it was mainly corn, you know. That's all what I was seeing from the plane. That was crazy. So I said, and then I think the first time I've asked Matt, I told him, I've been to different states over the years here in the U.S., and yet I haven't even seen a quarter of your huge country. So diverse, amazing. But I asked Matt at the time, I said, hey, Matt, Atlanta, I think, is Georgia is the peach state, and then you have Arizona is the Grand Canyon state, and so on, and Montana, the biggest sky state, and what is it about Indiana? And I think he said the Hoosier state, the Hoosier state. But I was wondering, after all the corn I've seen, is not the corn or beans state kind of thing? Anyway, I haven't seen a play with that still. But really, thank you for being here today. I really hope that this time that I will share with you really my experiences and just some of the things I've been learning over the years with you may be a blessing for you, or just, God may speak to our hearts, really, during these next 2 hours. That's the way Bolivians preach. Just kidding. No, I'll keep it short. So I'm not sure if it was a good idea for Matt to give me the mic. So anyway, let me start just by introducing to you my family. All right. There you go. All right, so that's my family. We all live in Bolivia. We are Bolivians. I serve for Food for the Hungry. And I know what some of you might be thinking, guys. How in the world this chubby, short Bolivian guy married that beautiful lady. Anyway, what can I say? God's grace and God's good in every aspect of our lives. So that's my family, three girls and one boy. You know, as you can guess, it's beautiful to have girls, but there are some times of the month that I look at my son, he looks at me and says, "Hey, Dad, I think it's time to play soccer." And we say, "Yeah, I'm with you, son." Anyway, just a great family that has been joining me during this journey of transformation. I would like to start just again. Also bringing you warm greetings from our country director in Nicaragua, the country director of Food for the Hungry in Nicaragua. Really cool guys, probably the ones that were down there, Matt, I know, and Liz, they were able to meet Irvin in person. And I didn't bring a picture of him or his family just because mine is nicer. No, just kidding. No, he's a cool guy. And he really has a great heart for the church and for the community he's serving down there, for the many communities he's serving down there, but Kaula too specifically. And he asked me, when he learned that I was coming here, he said, "Can I go?" And I said, no, probably next time. But hopefully you're going to have the chance to meet him as well. So warm greetings from him, from his staff, and from the actually community of Kaula too. The community members are really excited about this relationship that you guys have decided to embark. Very excited. And just before I go to the main part of this message, I would like to pray just to ask God to speak to our hearts and teach us what He's got to teach us, and to live, behind whatever I may say that is not coming from Him. Okay. So let me pray. Godfather, thank you so much for the chance to be here with brothers and sisters in Christ on a different end of the world. May you speak to our hearts clearly, and may you be in control of every single word that comes out from my mouth. May you provide your word of life for each one of us, and let us treasure what you have to teach us today. In your name, amen. All right, so let me time my 2 hours here. I don't want to keep you for lunch. All right, we're all set. So in these 10 years that I've been working in FH, you know, I have had the chance to travel different parts of the world, and not only different parts of the world, but also different places in my own country, in Bolivia. For the ones that have never heard about Bolivia, probably you can relate it to Butch Cassidy and Sundance something. They died there. Or Lake Titicaca, you know, the highest navigable lake in the world. I think so. We like to say that. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but that's where I am at. And, I've been traveling here and there and, getting to meet people from different contexts and from different, with different lifestyles and just different backgrounds and different beliefs. And I have seen that in big cities like Seattle, you know, all the way down to small villages in my own country or Nicaragua, really isolated rural villages. And, we may tend to think that things are really different, but believe me, they are not. I think that when it comes to fundamental things of life, like relationships, love, friendship, God, hope, and all those things, we are really more alike than we think we are. We're pretty much the same all around the world. And I have seen a lot of darkness in many of those places, but there's one common thing too. The need in all those places, starting in Seattle again, going down there, wherever you can imagine down in South America, is the need of light. You know, they need to have a light that will really shine in the midst of darkness. And I have seen people desperately trying to look for answers in life. You know, what is important about life? What is life about? Is it about surviving each day? Is it about the paycheck that I get at the end of the month? And oftentimes people trying to look for those answers in the wrong places. In the wrong places. And in the midst of all that darkness, I have also seen some lights shining there for those people. You know, those committed people that without talking about, just talking about Jesus, but actually talking their walk with Jesus, or walking their talk with Jesus, they are making a difference, a big difference in all those places. And they are shining, really shining to help others find the path. And, you know, I have seen small churches all the way to big churches. And I have seen many of those churches really being a light in the world, as we were commanded to be, you know. And I have seen the church being the church that it was meant by God. And, you know, I always wonder why, you know, what it's all about. Is it about surviving again, as I said? But then I discovered that it's really more about God's purpose in life. You know, it's really more about His plan, His redemption plan for all of us. His redemption plan to bring us back in reconciliation with our relationship with Him. And I know that He could easily fix all the issues that we are facing daily in our world just with a click. No? Just with a click in nanoseconds. Nanoseconds, does that work? See? Sometimes I make up English words, okay? So, but all right, I think you get what I'm trying to say. In nanoseconds, He could just fix all the issues that we have. But he doesn't do that. Intentionally, He chooses to make us a part of His huge plan. It's like if we were a piece in the big puzzle of God's plan. And we are the piece that best fits with that plan. So, in those terms, you know, I have came to the conclusion that really the church is the answer for that God is providing to the brokenness of our world. We are the answer to that, to all those issues. And I would like to go to the scriptures to illustrate this. And we can find, God's answers to all the issues of your broken world is the church. And I would like to go to just the scriptures to illustrate this, and just a brief description of how was the early church, you know, after Jesus Christ was here in this earth. And if we go there, we're going to find a brief description of this church, which you can find in Acts, you know, 2:45 through 47, and this is what we can find there. They spent their time learning from the apostles, and they were like family to each other. They also broke bread and prayed together. Everyone was amazed by the many miracles and wonders that the apostles worked. All the Lord's followers often met together, and they shared everything they had. They would sell their property and possessions and give the money to whoever needed. Day after day, they met together in the temple. They broke bread together in different homes and shared their food happily and freely while praising God. Everyone liked them, and each day the Lord added to their group others who were being saved. And there are many, many things important in this portion of the scripture, but the one that really resonates with my heart today is probably the last one and the simple one. You know, here is they're talking about miracles and wonders and sharing and selling possession and all those things. But the one that really resonates with me today is everyone liked them. You know? And that's everyone, that means everyone. It's not just that the guys going to that church, to those four walls church, they were the ones that liked the church. No, it was everyone in their community. So that means that they were making a difference. They were really making a difference in that community. So if there was a need in that church, you know, if there was something that needed to be met, if there was someone in need there that will knock at the door, it didn't matter if it was a Roman, uncircumcised, or a Greek, a pagan Greek, you know, all that mattered at that time was, how can we help you, you know? Are you hungry for food? Are you hungry for a friend? Are you a widow, probably, and you're hungry for someone that will take care of you and your children? So what I'm trying to say here is that for every single need that you may think of, the church was there to provide for those needs. That's how God was working through them. So here's another thing I want to kind of tell you today. If the church is the perfect response from God towards all the issues that we have, then you and I are the response to those issues, because we are the church, really. It's not that we don't come to church, and I love the idea that we are the church. You are the church. I am the church. Wherever I go, I am the church. I'm a walking church, chubby walking church, but, you know, I am the church ultimately. And that's really powerful truth for me, because it really goes beyond boundaries. And I'm not saying that coming to church is not a good thing. You know, our mandate is to also congregate ourselves with others who believe the same. But the purpose of coming on a Sunday morning, going on a Bible study any day of the week, just sharing time as believers in Jesus Christ, is to really put more oil to our lamps, to go there, wherever you might be. You might be a teacher, you can be a light of the world. You might be an engineer, you can be a light of the world. I'm not sure about you guys, but I was taught a different teaching when I was first starting this journey of getting to know the Lord. I was told, if you want to serve God, you have to go to church, leave everything behind, and that's the way you serve it, in a labeled Christian ministry. But then I came to the conclusion that no, I am the church. I can serve, you know, by being a good husband, I can be the church in the relationship that I have with my wife. But by being a good father, I can be the church by applying the God's principles on how I raise my kids. You raise kids or grow kids? You raise kids, right? All right. Yeah. All right. Anyway. So that was a very powerful truth for me, and that really changed the whole concept that I had as a church. You know, for many years I thought, oh, I have to go to church, yeah. So that was like a boundary. I crossed the door of the church, and then, bling, I'm holy and I'm a light. I will get down and turn off the lights, kind of thing. But this is powerful. I can serve God by being a good husband, by being a good child, but by being a good student, you know, and that's really powerful truth for me. Therefore, you and I are God's response to the needs of this world. I think if I would have lived in those years where these churches describe, I don't know about you guys, but if I would have had a problem, whatever issue I would have, I would have just run away and go to where these crazy Christians were to get prompt help from God. You know, that would be the first thing I'll do. Unfortunately, and I'm not sure about your context, but in Latin America, I have seen that this is not always true. You know, the church sometimes may tend to be just four walls. Oh, we are all holy here. It's all about a Sunday morning service. It's all about a Bible study. It's all about this and about that. And, you know, rules and rules and rules. Sometimes I'm like, wow, this looks like a Pharisee type of thing, you know. But I'm not sure if I'm wrong here. I'm not a theological expert. But, you know, I think Jesus Christ came into this world to hang out with sinners, mainly tax collectors, prostitutes, He didn't come here and spend a lot of time with the Pharisees. Or he didn't say, hey guys, you got to follow these Pharisees. No, his ministry started with tax collectors, right? Those were his disciples. But everything really started with a call for these guys. And we can see that call in Matthew 4:19, you know, for Peter and Andrew. He said, follow me, he told them, and I will make you fishers of people. Now, I always wonder why Jesus wouldn't have started his ministry with the most prepared people, the Pharisees. You know, they knew the scriptures from A to Z. They could, repeat the scriptures from A to C all day long. They were the most prepared people. They were educated people. You know, to be a Pharisee, oh boy, that took a long time. It was not like a master's degree in our years. I mean, it was definitely something really intense. But he didn't choose that. He chose the smallest people of those times to start a ministry that will change the world forever and ever. You know, he started with Peter and Andrew, two fishers that were there. And I always wonder why. You know, why? My point is, I think that call, you know, that Jesus made to Peter and Andrew at the time was, follow me. I think that call is still resonating in our minds and in our hearts today. This is still, it hasn't expired. It's telling you and telling me, follow me. I'll make you fisher people or fishermen, you know? I don't think that call has expired, and I don't think that will ever expire. It's like I always try to compare that to the actual. So I always dream when I was a little kid. I always dreamed about the Harley Davidson caravan, you know. So I think. You know how that goes. But I have never ride a Harley Davidson bike. But it's really different to get in one of those caravans that will drive and you ride your bike around places than just cheering out for the caravan. You know, yeah, go, you can do it, you'll get it done. That kind of stuff, you know. I compare that to being a genuine Christ follower. Sometimes we tend to be more in the cheer team. Yeah, let's do it. You can do it. Oh, sorry about that. You can do it. Before I destroy anything else, let me just. But it's really way different to actually ride your bike and get around places. That's really different. So that's my point about this part. And I don't think that we will ever understand this call without humbling ourselves. And let me tell you a little bit about my story with Food for the Hungry. And I started 10 years ago. You know, it was like my dream made come true. I grew up in a wealthy house or wealthy family, meaning that I didn't need, all my basic needs were covered. You know, yeah, I had plenty of food, and you can tell that. I had, I had good education. I was able to go to college. I was able to learn different languages, able to do many things that I thought were really important. And then I thought, wow, I have all these great things that God gave me in order to go and help my people here in Bolivia through Food for the Hungry. What an awesome chance to make a difference in the world. So the right heart, probably, yes. But after a couple of years that I joined this organization and I started figuring out that all those places that for me were just a picture or that for me were just a place that you drove by on a way to a vacation time, when I figured out that there were families living there in very rough conditions, very tough lifestyle, literally surviving each day, I said, wow, I was overwhelmed. And I was like kind of mad and disappointed with God. I said, God, why you brought me here? Why you place such a huge passion in my heart to help out those people? And yet there's nothing I can do for them. This is just overwhelming. I don't think I'll never make a difference in anyone's life here. So I was disappointed. I was frustrated. Until I was, hosting a church team in a community that it's around 14,000 feet above sea level, a very isolated rural area. And I was there hosting an American team from an American church. And but one of the most exhausting things that I've done in my life is translate, going back and forth in different languages. So by 8 o'clock in the evening, I didn't want to see anyone, no Americans, nor Bolivians. I just wanted to go to bed or walk and take a long walk. Anyway, so I'm outside the place that we were staying, really isolated community again. One house is here, a couple of miles, the other house. That kind of stuff, and really like rural setup. And I started hearing like a music coming up from the mountains. And I called my colleague at FH, at Food for the Hungry, and I asked him, what do you think that is? Where is that coming from? I mean, it's 9 o'clock in the evening. It's a Thursday night. As long as I know, there's no parties today here in town. Where is that coming from? And he said, actually, I think that's Christian music. He was the one that worked 24/7 in the community. And he said, let's take our bike and go find out where that music is coming from. So anyway, we take the bike, and we go and probably drove the bike for about half or 45 minutes. And we get, and the music starts to come louder and louder. And we learn that there's a little house there, adobe brick house, with a speaker on the roof, those simple speakers in the roof. And the music was coming out from there. And I said, what, is this a church? And he said, no. As far as I know, it's just a regular home. Anyway, we knock at the door, and a very gentle lady shows up and says, hey, brothers, we were waiting for you. Do you want to worship with us? And I was like, yeah, sure, let's go. And in those communities, they speak Quechua. That's an indigenous language that is predominant in many areas of my country. So they would speak Quechua. So I couldn't understand a thing of what, but I had my buddy there to translate for me. And anyway, we go inside, and the picture there is lovely. We see a father there, probably in his 40s, and the mother there, and four little kids, plus the, grandfather and grandmother there. And they're all singing in Quechua worship songs. And the kids are like playing their drum, like really having fun there. And so it was, anyway, to make it shorter, it was one song after another and after another. And we probably arrived there like 9 o'clock in the evening. And it was already 11-something. And I said, when are these guys stopping? Okay, so tell me, what is this about? Is it a church? Are they trying to start a church? No, it's just a regular family. It was a Thursday night, not a Sunday morning service or anything like that. I was like, wow. All right, so... And I asked my friend, okay, this is great, but what are they singing? What are they saying in the songs, And he'll tell me, they are thanking God. So each one of these countless songs, worship songs in Quechua, most of them were saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you, Lord. And at that time, I started to get mad at God again, I started to think, to even question God. I said, God, this is really weird. Why are they thanking you for? They have nothing to eat but potatoes. Probably twice a year they'll eat meat. Their kids will have to go to school tomorrow, like 5 o'clock in the morning, really rough weather. We're talking about like -5 Celsius. I don't know what's that Fahrenheit. But chilly. Water is frozen there. The little kids that are 5 years old have to go up in the mountains, walk for many, many miles, and shepherd the sheep up there, 14,000 feet above sea level. It's just not an easy thing to do. Even for me, it's really challenging to walk a mile there. And so as you can, you know, here I was just talking before the service, I was talking to, I think to Jeremy, or Rod, and I was telling him, I feel hyper oxygenated here, you know, like I can run a marathon. I don't know about all the food that I've eaten, though, but that's a different story. But anyway, you know, really rough life. And I was like, there's no way they can be thanking you for something here. And then, if I can ever say that God ever spoke to me, I think it was that time. And it was not like a loud voice that will tell me, Juan Pablo, you are my son. You know, no, it was like it was pretty simple as this. Juan Pablo, hey man, boom, boom, boom. You're really stubborn, huh? They're thanking me because they really have a relationship with me. It's not about the things that they have. It's not about how hard or how easy their lives is, but it's about worshiping me. And then he placed a very heavy question in my heart. He said really clearly to me, you know, if that family, my family that I just showed you, would be in these circumstances, will you worship me? Will you still say that you're a Christian, that you have a relationship with me? Honestly, I still struggle to provide a honest answer to that question. But from that time on, you know, 8 years ago, kind of thing, I learned that even though I had everything I needed, I thought I needed to make a difference, even though I had studies and a master's degree in this and languages, and I even had the right heart, I thought, you know, oh, I want to help them. I want to help the poor. And here I'm not saying we don't have to help, but I'll make my point, okay? There was nothing I could do without first humbling myself. Because I went with an attitude that was, oh, yeah, you know, I'm the city guy here. I'm going to teach you guys how you have to do it, you know? I'm going to teach you how you have to overcome your poverty here. But that's not what God was asking for me to do. From the time that I was able to figure that out, and let me show you the house that I'm talking about. That's the house that I visited. And that's where I found my teachers, you know? God placed my teachers in that house. That really shifted my perspective, my worldview. Because I never thought I could learn something from them. And yet they were teaching me that in many ways, you know, these guys, that lady there, they do have their issues. They do have poverty. But when it comes again to fundamental things of life, I believe that I was poorer than them, more poor than them. You know, I needed more help than them did. So, that's me, you know, jumping in that community. And, but I really learned important things in that during that vision. That was my vision, my mission trip, you know, the mission trip that changed my life completely and that changed the way I see things now and it changed the way that I approach people now everywhere that I'm at. You know, and this is kind of a funny story, but every time I would go back from those trips, go back home, you know, I would get into the scale, 2 pounds, you know. And my wife will say, hey, this is weird. You work for Food for the Hungry, right? So, yeah, I do. So she'll tell me, come on, I think you're eating those people's food. That's it. Well, actually, I am, you know. And this may sound strange, but oftentimes we think that food for the hungry. Oh, yeah, sure, I can do that. I'll go down there and I'll scoop food in people's empty dishes or people's empty plates, you know. But actually, they fed me. You know, they fed me all the time. Every time that I go to Kaula, to Nicaragua, to Bolivia, and those communities, and also here in the States, I'm learning so many things. Poor Matt, I've been asking all kind of crazy questions over the last 2 years, and he's gracious and still answers those ones for me. So I'm learning about people. I'm learning about God in different contexts. But again, same people everywhere. We all have darkness in our lives. We all have poverty. And this may sound weird to you, but it also sounded weird to me. You know, when I had that that message from God telling you, you are poor, Juan Pablo. Believe it or not, you are poor. These guys are rich compared to you. They can teach you more things that you can ever learn in a college, that you can ever learn studying and reading tons of books. Just get into a relationship with them. You know, the way that I picture, like myself going to one of those communities at the beginning was like, oh yeah, yeah, God might be smiling at me because I'm going to those hard places, you know, to help the people out. But actually, I think it's completely different picture now for me. It's like, all right, he finally got it, you know. He's going into those places. Yes, he is. So it's more than one here and one there. There's like a hug of two brothers, of two siblings that are both poor, that need one each other in order to overcome their own poverty. That's a completely different picture about the gospel. And I think this is not about an NGO. It's not about even development. It's about gospel. Pure and simple gospel. An easy message to deliver to people when we spend time getting into a relationship with them, right? Because Jesus didn't just say, oh yeah, you go there, make them pray, receive me as their Lord and Savior and everything and blah, 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 and that's it, and get away. He said, spend time with them. Learn about their burdens. Share your burdens with them as well. It was pretty neat when I was in a home visit, and for the guys that are sponsoring children currently now in Kaula 2, Nicaragua, and if you join a team, you're going to get to go in those home visits where you go there and you start building a relationship with kids and their parents. Anyway, the guy was there, the sponsor was there, and he was like, how can I pray for you, you know? Great heart. But at the end of the prayer, the sponsor kid said, and how can I pray for you? You know, what are your issues? What are your issues? And I've seen this tons and tons of times. And I have also seen the wrong approach, you know, the wrong time of relief and development work, where we think it's about hanging out money to people or hanging out things to people. And that, believe me, doesn't change a thing. Any project, doesn't matter if we put a cafeteria in Kaula 2 in this community there in Bolivia, if there are no relationships in place that will influence people's mindset and that will bring a living God that cares about not only Sunday morning service, that cares about health and nutrition and how you're doing with your spouses, then it, by themselves, a project or projects wouldn't change anything. And I have seen that. I've seen international cooperation and many other organizations trying to pour money into poor countries, trying to change things. And you may see some changes, you know, but they don't last. Any project breaks up or breaks down, needs repair. But in the other hand, if you have someone who's got these ideas, who deeply believes that it was created to God's image, that he's not a mistake of God, that with a purpose, he was placed as the leader of an ex-community there. Because that's the first thing they ask, you know, when we go and show up in a community, we could have our agenda. This is Food for the Hunger agenda for you guys. We think you need this and you need that and you have to, are you aligned with us? Yes or no? Who's on board? We could do that. That's what actually many, many organizations do. Many governments, my government in my own country is doing the same thing. But we want to establish relationships. Because we want development to be their agenda, their godly agenda. You know, this is what God has for you and your community. The first thing we say is, the first question we ask is, hey guys, what do you think you have in your community to change your life, to make a better life for your children? And the first answers we hear is, oh, we got nothing. We are just poor people. My grandparents were poor. My parents were poor. I am poor. My children will be the same. Why should I waste money trying to send my kids to school, giving them a good education? Well, there's nothing we can do. There's this fatalism way of thinking. When you start giving them messages that, no, that's not truth. You know, God is at work here. God placed you here for a reason. You have a purpose in life. You are a small piece, but crucial piece in God's puzzle. Then that makes a big difference for them. Then it makes sense to have a nice school. Then it makes sense to have a new ambulance to go to the doctor. Because life is sacred. Because God values your life, you know? So those are really different things and different approach to actually do what we're trying to do. So that's what is Food for the Hungry about. And, you know, as I said, that was my mission trip. And that's so far how things look down there. But today I want to go a little bit farther than that. How does that look for you guys in your own context? You know? Do you need to take a mission trip? And believe me, I really want you guys to sign up for the two upcoming trips that the church is taking in June and July 2017 to Nicaragua. Because that may change. That's got the potential to change your life. But, you know, your mission trip really might be on the corner of your house, just turning right or turning left, or even within your own family. Sometimes we pay attention to things that don't matter in life. And it's incredible, but nowadays I'm supposed to be done, but I'm about to wrap up, don't worry. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, we are more connected than ever in terms of technology. You know, my wife probably knows that I'm keeping you here, you know, with this message, because we have an iPhone and she's got an iPhone and she knows where I'm at. We are connected, just a clicks from doing stuff, really important things. But sometimes we are more disconnected than ever from things that matter. You know, relationships that matter, that can change someone's life. You know, what are you hungry for? Are you hungry for a better relationship with God? Are you hungry for friends, for love? I have seen many people that are hungry for those things. Therefore, we are all hungry for something. We are all hungry for something. And that's really what I would like to encourage you today. To look at your, you know, surrounding family, surrounding friends. Can you take a mission trip there and be the church with them and shine for them? And I'm not talking about, you know, can I make a bear of Jesus, like Jesusing? I know we can make a bear of Skyping, texting, so Jesusing. Sometimes we just talk and talk and talk. And sometimes we also wait until we are enough prepared or enough holy to go and be the church. But again, Jesus started his ministry with two fishermen that were imperfect, just like we are. He started a ministry with many of those guys that had no other righteous thing than their right heart to serve God and their right thoughts about serving him and being the church and shine with whatever you have. You can use whatever is handy to you to be a light in the world without having to Jesus it everywhere, you know, talk. In other words, walk your talk. And that's really powerful. We need those lights. We need those lights here in Indiana as we need them down there in Caula too, Nicaragua. Seems to be completely different words, but again, pretty much the same thing, two fundamental things of life. So that's really my point this morning. Where is your mission trip? It might mean that you have to sign up for that trip to get away from all that crazy connection that we have all day long here. You know, I have that too. You know, it's all the time, alarms and emails, bling, bling, bling. Probably we need to set up some time to spend with those guys and see what is fundamental for life, to learn from them. Humble our hearts, forget what we learn, and try to learn from their simple things, but deep teachings that God has prepared for each one of us. So let me now show you a couple of pictures of, you know, that's Caula 2, one of the houses in Caula 2. Again, this could be your school. If you have the time, if you have the resources to go on those trips, I assure you that your life will be forever changed. Not because food for the hungry is there, because God is in those people. And God will teach you through them. And that's going to be a deep teaching for you. So if you have to sign up for those June and July trips, do it, please. And this is the restrooms that you guys helped out build in the community of Caula 2. So that was the initial work. And then you have on the right what's the final or the results. But again, it's not about a project. They need projects, they need restrooms, they do. But mainly they need to feel God's love in their lives. Otherwise, it's just going to be a fruit. Like cherries, the cherries last very short time here as well. Like a short time change. We need you. You are key for us, guys, because you can go down there and say, I'm not better than you. I don't know more things than you. Actually, you know more things about your community that I would never know. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you. I'm here to tell you that you are important to God, that you have a purpose in life. You're not someone who fell off from God's pocket. You're not a mistake. It's really powerful when you have, for those ones of you that are sponsoring children, you may be wondering, does a letter make a difference? It does. It doesn't make a difference because they are hearing that message in their mind. They've been hearing those messages. You cannot do it. You're poor. You cannot overcome this situation. But picture this. There's someone in Indiana. They probably don't even know that this is Corn State or where Indiana is. But they're hearing it from, in a letter, you know. God loves you. You can do it. You can be someone better for God's glory. Those kind of messages are powerful and forever will change our lives as well. So I encourage you guys today to really think about those questions. You know, number one, where is your mission trip? Do you have to take those mission trips? Or do you simply have to pay more attention to what is going on in your family? Sometimes we tend to be so sucked up by work, by the system, and we don't pay attention to what matters. I really want to be the church with my spouse first, being a good husband, trying to be as good husband as I can be, you know? And we don't need to be perfect. If we screw it up, God is a God of opportunities, of second opportunities, third, and countless opportunities. But he wants us to walk that path of building relationships. That's really what changes people's lives. So, if I can tell you that FH It's about reestablishing relationships. I think that will be the best way to describe food for the hungry. We think that relationships are the most important things, that reconciling the world into the right relationships with God first, with your neighbor, with yourself, with God's creation. That's the most important thing to do, to overcome whatever issues we are facing in our world. It's like, I'm not sure, and I'm almost on, I promise. Have you ever, guys, watched Forrest Gump? That's my all-time favorite movie kind of thing. I've watched it like 25 times, and my wife is sick of it, but I love it. And there's this Lieutenant Dan. He's mad with God. He's mad with life. And then he starts, you know, he's in the sea, sailing on the sea, and he starts yelling at God and having a fight with God and arguing with God. And then he finds that reconciliation that brings him into the right relationships with other people, with himself. That's what we're really trying to do. And that's what you guys will help us do in Calatú, Nicaragua. You guys will help us be the church down there. And at some point, I really hope that you can guys also learn some things that will help you be the church up here in Indiana within your own families as well. So thank you guys. It's been awesome time with you. Really, thank you for your support. You know, you may think that it's easy to find churches that are aligned to this kind of thinking, but it's really not. Most of the time, we want to see results from one day to the other one, to the next one. But life doesn't work that way, is it? And we have tried that. We have walked that path already. It doesn't work. It doesn't change anything. So thank you for your support, and I would like to close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share here in front of your loved children here in Muncie. Would you please show us what are the areas that we are hungry for? What kind of food do we need? Who are the ones that are serving us that food? Are they thousands of miles away? They may be, but they may also just be here. Most importantly, would you please open our hearts to your teaching and humble our hearts? All the things that you have provided to us are great. Education, work, nice families. Would you please provide us with a humble heart? That will close the circle. That will make us better servants. For your glory, God. In your name I pray. Amen.